Well, good evening. I want to welcome you to the Essential Leadership podcast here at Moberly. And we're glad that you're here as we look at the life of Moses and we continue on in that journey through Exodus and learn some leadership lessons that we can apply to our own life and journey. And so we're excited about tonight, Exodus 3, where we're going to be. And of course, our special guest tonight, Harold Johnson. Excited for you guys to get to know him and hear a little bit from him and his experiences a little bit now, and I'll let him share a little more. Harold went to the University of Texas, graduated from there, and started his career in corporate America, working with some oil and gas companies, and that started his journey. I'm going to let him share a little bit more about that and also introduce his wife. And so, Harold, why don't you share a little bit about some of that journey and introduce us to your family?
Well, Andy, thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation and pleasure to be here this evening. Most of that was true. When I got out of university, Jimmy Carter was president and interest rates were 20%, if any of you remember that. So not really a good time to start a real estate or a development business. So I wasn't very clever, so I went to work in the oil field and couldn't escape. So 40 years later, I was blessed to have a great career doing that. And my wife Sherry and I have been married for a long time. She's the light of my life. We've got 5 children and now 15 grandkids.
Wow. Grandkids are better than kids?
Absolutely.
All right.
The reason grandkids and grandparents have such a close bond, they share a common enemy, the parents.
Well, I'm going to look forward to those days. Hopefully not too soon, though. So, we're excited to have you here. And we do want to jump in and go ahead and look at Exodus 3. And so I'm going to read some of the passage. If I could kind of give us a little bit of a backfill when we get to Exodus 3, and in verse 1, the first word we see is meanwhile. And Moses, just prior to this, we read he spent about 40 years in Midian, and he's been tending the flock or a herd of his father-in-law, Jethro. So we know that Moses had fled Egypt because he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he had this heart and this tie back to his own people, the Hebrew people. And so he ended up killing that Egyptian and hiding it. And because of that, he became afraid, and so he fled. Well, he fled here to the land of Midian, and that's where he met his wife. And man, he loved his wife and they had some children, and he's living there and he's just going about kind of everyday life. And in some ways, honestly, it's a really good life. It's a really simple life. There's not too many complications. He's tending the herd of his father-in-law of all people and enjoying that. And they're out here. He's tending to the flock and he's taking them around a mountain. And so meanwhile, as he's going about his everyday life, it says, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, he answered. I want us to look just briefly kind of at this part of the story. And so here's Moses, this everyday life. He's leading the herd around this mountain to the other side of the mountain, this mountain of God. And it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame. The angel of the Lord, I want us to look just briefly about that phrasing. We see that several times throughout Scripture. This is one of the first times we see that in the Bible. There was one reference maybe prior to this that we see a phrase similar to this, but the angel of the Lord appears here. And I want to draw some insight here for us, because at the end, I want to come back to it. This phrase, the angel of the Lord appeared, we see a manifestation of God. We see God show up. And many times when we see this, if we would connect this to the second person of the Trinity, and that is Jesus Christ, that we really might be seeing a manifestation of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And in this moment, it's a manifestation. God shows up in a bush that is burning. Now, it wouldn't necessarily be uncommon for someone in the desert. It was an arid land. It was dry. It wouldn't be uncommon for a bush or some vegetation to be on fire in instances. That would be something he might have seen before. But what it says here is he was drawn to it because the bush was not being consumed. And that was something that drew him to say, I've got to go and look at this. Moses became consumed with that. And so he went over to see it, and all of a sudden a voice calls out and says, Moses, Moses. I think it's interesting, you know, God doesn't always come in and just take over or consume unless we consume ourselves with him. He wants the invitation. He wants us to ask. And many times when we're just going about our daily life, when we're just going about routine things, God will show up. He'll do something. He'll make himself known. And what he's asking or looking for or hoping is that we might invite him in. You know, I wonder, Harold, in your journey and in your life and throughout the 40 years in your career, did you ever have kind of these burning bush moments, a moment when you were just working the plan and the plan was working, but then God showed up and called out to you?
Well, over time, God's showed up a lot of times in my life, and I guess I like in your passage, it describes the burning bush. It was certainly an attention getter.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I was, as a young man of 11 years old, I understood the gospel message, and I made a profession of faith. And I remember that day just like it was yesterday. And it was not a Paul on the road to Damascus epiphany, but I knew what it was. I remember my baptism. And, you know, it describes Moses doing his job, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I call that the white noise of life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you marry, you go to school, you marry, you get 2.3 children, and you're doing your thing. And so I can tell you that as a young man, my walk was not as close and abiding as I would like it to be. But what I found out when I ran into challenges and difficulties, guess what? God was always there. Uh-huh. And so it's not like he left. It was he shows up all the time. It's, am I going to invite him in? So there's been a couple of occasions like that. one was about 15 years ago. Where's Kirby? Hey, Kirby and his bride have known Sherry and I for a long time, and they worked together at Eastman. And so plus or minus 15 years ago, Sherry comes home and says, I think I'm being called to go to Africa in some of our mission work. And I'm kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm the reluctant soldier like so many biblical characters. And, you know, my thought was, is we should support those kind of things financially, Lottie Moon and different ministries. But I had no training to be a missionary and already traveled all over the world. So why are we doing that? And anyway, my wife is just such a blessing to me. And so she kind of coached me. She didn't nag me. And the next time Ross Collier, who many of you know, was home, he and Sherry Collier on sabbatical, Ross talked to me one time, Andy, and he pointed that big finger and he said, "Harold, if you'll just go, it'll be transforming. And I don't mean for you. He said, "I don't mean for the people you talk to. I mean for you."
Yeah.
And he was absolutely right. And I tell you what, that's really fractured my thinking about engagement and mission work. And so God definitely showed up, and he allowed us to see some miraculous work that's going on still today in Malawi and Zambia and the Rift Valley of Africa. So I'm so blessed to have been able to see that. And as a reluctant soldier, God was always there, but when he showed up that time, at least I had the good sense on one occasion to take advantage.
You said, "Here I am." I mean, that's what Moses says here in the passage when it calls out, "Moses, Moses," he answers and says, "Here I am." You know, I know there's a lot of things in life at times that when God does call, it can be pretty scary and it can seem pretty daunting. We can have concerns about this thing maybe that God might be calling us to. And I know Moses, I'm sure Moses kind of felt that same way. I mean, he really was just going about everyday life. And in fact, you might call this an interruption, right? I mean, has God ever just interrupted your life? You know, you just thought things were going along really well. You know, John Maxwell, he has this quote. He says, "One of the major keys to success is to keep moving forward on the journey, making the best of the detours and interruptions, turning adversity into advantage." Sometimes it really is a matter of how we look at things that God, sometimes we don't always attribute these things to God. We're not really looking for God to show up. I love the way you put it, though. You said God is always trying to show up. He's there. It's not that he's not trying to reveal himself to us or show up. It's that we may be a little too focused or driven by the plan or other things, right? We're going about life. We're doing the things that we know to do. And yet, God is saying, "Hey, if you would just let me for a moment detour you, if you would let me just interrupt for a moment, man, watch what I would do. Watch what I would teach you. Watch what you would learn." And so, man, here your wife is one of those people that God is using to say, "Man, we need to get involved in Africa." And you're very involved in that today.
Hey, amen.
So 15 years ago, it didn't just change you for that experience, but here today, you continue to take trips over there. In fact, you were there not long ago, a month or 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, taking a trip over there because it changed your life. And so God wants to change our lives. He wants to interrupt. And sometimes we need to just stop and say, "God, here I am. I'm listening. I'm open. I'm ready. You know, what is it you want to say to me?" And so Moses says, "Here I am." And so in verse 5, if we continue on, this voice calls out and says, "Do not come closer," he said. "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he continued, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. The Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so, as Moses comes over to see this burning bush, the voice calls out, "Do not come closer, remove your sandals." And there's this realization that he is now coming before this holy God. He is coming into the presence of holy God. And even at that, he hides his face. And so in this moment, as he's stepping into the presence of God, and at the very end here in verse 10, verse 9 and 10, God says, I've heard the cry of the Israelites, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Now, this is not the Pharaoh that he grew up with. This isn't the king that he grew up with. It was one of them, but it wasn't the one that was Pharaoh at the time he was there. That Pharaoh had passed on. And so this would have been someone like a sibling, someone else, right? Here he is, and God is saying, I'm going to send you to go and to lead the Israelites out of captivity.
Andy, it's interesting that Moses, one of the great leaders of the Bible, led the people out of Egypt. But before he was a leader, he was a follower.
Yes.
And when you gave me the passage and I looked at that, I thought, you know what? Learning how to follow, I believe, is God ordained. And, Father wants us to be, to trust and obey, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in my fourth quarter of life, if you use that analogy. And I don't know if I'm at the 2-minute warning or if I've got the whole quarter
sure.
left.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, when you look at it, I look back and I spent about, in a 40-year career, I spent about 20 years learning how to follow, and I had some great mentors. I had some that weren't great, and so I took the things that I liked and aligned with Christian values, and then I left the other stuff behind. So I spent about 20 years learning, and I really feel like God was preparing me for a leadership role in some of the secular business stuff that we did, because from that point, you know, I sought out values-based companies that were, Christian values. And, that's really been a blessing to us to follow that. So for me, I had to be a follower before I could learn to be any kind of a leader.
And, you know, I love that you say that, and it's so true. And I think even here with Moses, the idea of being willing to follow, saying, here I am, and come before God, and with this humility, right, taking off the sandals. And God was calling him to a pretty big task. I mean, this was huge, to lead the Israelites away from the Egyptians, out of Egypt. I mean, that was a significant idea that God was going to free the people. And it wasn't so much that God would do it, but God saying, Moses, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to do this. You know, God really stretches us at times. God calls us to do things that are bigger than us. And so I'm sure in that journey, when you're saying, okay, I'm going to be a follower, there were probably moments when God would say, hey, I want you to do this here. And you're thinking, I can't do that. That's bigger than, I don't know how I'm going to make that happen. I don't know how to do that very thing. That's bigger than me. Can you recall any of those times?
Yeah, I heard, I think Jim Dennison in his weekly forum said earlier this week, I'll take it from some other author, but talked about obstacles in life and said, they're not really obstacles, they are the path. And you know, how you address those and how you, use them. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so as you come up against those things that may be seem insurmountable, you know, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Right?
We serve
for
a big
those
God.
That love the Lord.
Yeah. So when God's the one that's saying, this is what I want you to do, right? And he's saying, I'm going to stretch you. As daunting as it can be, as challenging as it might be, Moses stands here and is still, he hadn't run off. He didn't say, I'm out of here, right? He's still there. And God says, I'm going to use you. I want to do great things. And the reality is, we are all those people. That's not for someone else. Oftentimes we look and say, well, yeah, God wants to use them because, and we find reasons why he wants to use them and not me, right? There's reasons why it wouldn't be me. Can I tell you? There's no reason why it's not you. God wants to do great things through each and every one of us. And what's great is whatever it is in the moment where God has placed you, it's that other person that you may be sitting across or on the phone with and is struggling with something, and you have the opportunity to just speak a little life into them. You have the opportunity to pray a prayer with them. You know, my administrative assistant yesterday, we're having this conversation meeting and we get a phone call and they asked her to go up to Benevolence to translate. And so sure, we said go. And in that conversation, two people gave their life to Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That someone going about their daily routine, doing a little thing, we get a call, can they go and just do some translating? And in that process, two people's lives are forever changed, not just here, but for eternity. And it's the willingness of being able to say, I'm here, I'm available. And God says, I'm going to use you. And God wants to use each and every one of us to accomplish great things. And so God wants to stretch us. God wants to grow us. God wants to use us ultimately to do mighty things. Whatever your role is, whatever your job is, wherever you are in life, whether you're in the first quarter, second quarter, third or fourth, doesn't matter. Wherever you are, God wants to use you. And so we need to make ourselves available. Well, Moses ultimately had done that. Now, when we get here towards the end in verse 11, we do find Moses as he continues on. He says, Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And he answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. And then Moses asked this, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. We could go on and read more, but the reality is, you know, like Moses, when God does call and God begins to stretch us, oftentimes we think, okay, man, well, why me? And who am I that you would use me, that you would send me to go to Pharaoh? And God said, it's not about you, right?
Exactly.
God said, it's not about you. And is that just not true, even kind of in life and in our business world? So many times it's not about us.
I think absolutely, Andy. When at whatever time that realization happens, early or later in life, that it's not about me, that's when you really get empowered. Mm. And, you know, just what a blessing to whatever your spiritual gifts. You know, you need to figure those out. But yeah. I think sometimes God will call you outside of that comfort zone too. And, you know, just a blessing. Our after 40 some odd years, I had some conversations with Pastor Glenn, also Ken Hall, who many of you know, Joe Veal, my brother who works in Africa, and just talking to some people about impact on others for kingdom work. And a story was recanted to me that Dr. Johnson told Ken Hall many years ago when Ken had left church to lead Buckner Ministries, was CEO, and they were working on projects and growing. And one of the things Dr. Johnson told Ken that I'll never forget was, he said, "Ken, don't forget that enough can be too much if you forget why you're doing it."
Wow.
And, you know, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
And so I just think there are moments like that when God shows up, and, you know, he does it through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, or through other brothers and sisters.
Man, I love it. I think Moses is right there. And the reality is, you know, I think there's an appropriate response. And it ultimately was Moses. And that was, you said it earlier, that we trust and obey. And when we trust and obey, when we find ourselves at a place, you know, I said earlier, I talked about the burning bush, and that might have been that the second person of the Trinity in Jesus Christ. And I want to come back to that, because if we think about the person of Christ, and if we really look at this, this is a deliverance for the Israelites. It's really a redemption story in this period of time. It's a salvation story where God is restoring and redeeming and going to bring the Israelites out of captivity, out of bondage. And it's the person of Jesus Christ that ultimately does that for each and every one of us. It's the person of Jesus Christ when we humble ourselves. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that even Christ, he didn't see equality with God something to boast about, but rather he says that he humbled himself to the point of death even. Amen. That he was willing to take on. And the death came because sin. It's sin that leads to death. And so Christ himself had to take on the sin of man. He had to take on our sin, your sin, my sin, and humbled himself to the point of death. Man, leaders must follow. Leaders must trust and obey. It's taking our sandals off, and it's being willing to humble ourselves.
Jesus was the ultimate servant leader.
Yes, he was.
He humbled himself to wash the feet, to come down here and die for you and I. And you know, it's just there's kind of a businessman's Bible from Ken Blanchard, the Christian author, called "Lead Like Jesus."
Yes,
and he's got a chapters on servant leadership, and it's modeled after Christ himself.
Yeah, he is the perfect example. And all, God has called all of us. We're all leaders in life, whether we're leading ourselves, whether we're leading our family, our children. Maybe God has placed, it might be employees, it might be peers. In fact, it may be someone who's over you. And you're leading them. It may be friends. But we all, in some way, find ourselves needing to lead others at times, and if no one else, leading ourselves. And so we have to own that, but the reality is it comes down to humility. It comes down being willing to know, this is not about us. It's not about me. We do this for the glory of God.
Amen.
We do this because God wants to deliver not only me, God wants to also deliver others. And he wants to use us in that journey. He wants to use us so that others can see and have that very same experience. And we go back to really what Moses said at the very beginning, and that is, we have to first say, "Here I am." Right? We have to make ourselves available.
Yes.
And so if we would do that, man, I would encourage and I would challenge each and every one of us to just hide and watch and see what God won't do. And I think you'd be amazed. You know, there's this one little story as I wrap up here where I found myself at a moment where, man, I was seeking God. I wasn't sure what was going on. It was a struggle and a time in ministry where I was unsure of things. And I found myself, I would go and I would sit somewhere and I would just pray, God, what is it you want to do through me here in this place? Is there someone? Is there something? And I remember this friend that our relationship had severed walked in, and I thought, God saying to me, that's the person I want you to minister to. And so I reached out to him and said, hey, man, Jason, I really would love for us to reconnect and maybe talk and try to work through some things. And he said, hey, that's great. Get with my secretary. Well, I knew what that meant. You know, whenever you say get with your secretary, that means, yeah, right, I don't really have time. And so I reached out to the secretary and I made no progress. A week later, I was in a different place. These were actually coffee shops each time, but it was a different coffee shop the second time. And I prayed that prayer and he comes walking in.
Wow.
I'm thinking, okay, God, I get it. And I said, hey, Jason, we really need to get together. And he said, yeah, that's great. I'll tell you what, I'll have my secretary reach out to you. Yeah, I knew where that was going. I never heard from her. I reached out to her. Hey, I'll get with Jason and we'll see what happens. So a third week at a different coffee shop, third coffee shop, different one altogether. And I'm praying that prayer. And you know who walks in?
He finally ran up a white flag.
That's right. And he sat down and said, okay, I think we need to talk. And I said, yeah, I think we do. And man, God showed up in some big ways. And it was not only powerful for him, it was powerful for me. And so I would encourage you, I would challenge you, make yourself available to God and just see what God won't do.